Thank you. Can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Good. Had no idea what I was going to say this morning, reflecting on it. And yesterday's Radio Lab on KXWT, the local public radio station, was talking about the sand hogs that have brought water to New York City. Throughout New York City's early history, they didn't have any source of fresh, clean water. And it wasn't until they dug deep, deep tunnels, bringing water underneath the rivers, that the city was able to be in a position to grow, thrive, and become what it is today. It's work that goes on to this day. Even in modern times, the fatality rate is about one fatality per mile. And this is with modern safety standards and everything else. Absolutely incredible work that goes on. Why do I bring that up? The modern city exists because we have been able to harness water. From ancient times, it was only with the harnessing of water and irrigation that cities arose. And people did amazing work, dirty, deadly work, to bring these cities to existence. As a faith community, we exist because of money. Not because of money, but as a result of the funds that we all contribute and the time and the treasure and the talent that we provide to this community. And a lot of times that is dirty, quiet work that goes unrecognized and is never really discussed or brought into the open. So that is in direct conflict with our stated goals and our stated beliefs of Unitarians of democratic participation in our congregation and community. So the only way for everyone to understand what is going on within our community is to understand where the lifeblood and the water of our community is and what that status is. So that's what I'm just going to brief you guys on today. Numbers are boring. I deal with numbers all day. I believe that numbers tell stories, so that's why I started with the story. Right now, the story is not great within the financial situation of this congregation. Just as New York City is engaged in a giant program to build a new tunnel because the current ones are collapsing, we also face a challenge as a congregation. Previously, the congregation was able to rely upon oil and gas royalties that had been given and donated that made up a large portion of the operating budget of the church. It varied from year to year, but it roughly contributed about half of our operating funds. With the downturn in oil prices, those royalty rates have fallen off far more than just the linear. You know, if oil prices fall by half, our royalties don't fall by half. They fall by far more because operating expenses are taken out before royalties are calculated. So our realized numbers have gone down from providing around 50% to this year we'll be lucky if we get 10% of our budget provided through the operating royalties of this church. So that is the challenge. It's out there. It's been spoken of. There's no need to be afraid of it. There's no need to hide from the current situation. At the same time that we face this incredible challenge, since the time that I've been here, which 3-4 years now, I don't know that we've been in a better position as a congregation in terms of the energy, in terms of what we have going on, from the music to the groups that we have meeting at the church to the religious education. Just the energy that we feel on a weekly basis is fantastic and a wonderful place to build from and grow from. And that's how we will weather this storm. The other way that we're going to weather this storm is that we are the inheritors of incredible generosity from previous congregations and previous members who have set up this church with an endowment that right now is around $900,000. That's a big number and could lead to complacency in our current situation. However, I think that all of us here as responsible stewards understand that that is a point of insurance, a point of, I think the right word is an inheritance that is to be guarded and to be built upon, and this is a basis for growth within this congregation, not something as an excuse for a shirking of duties. To run through the budget at a very high level right now, we have operating expenses right now of about $140,000 per year. Within the congregational meeting, each year we lay out those budgets and where the money goes from. And as the treasurer, I can tell you that as people are going through the budget and responsible for their areas, whether it be music or religious education or building grounds and maintenance, to a T, they are being as frugal as possible. How can we get away with this? How can we stretch that? What community resources are available to help out? There's not a lot of room for shrinking of that number. This past year, on an operating budget and looking forward, should things not change, we would be drawing down from the endowment approximately $60,000 to $70,000 to fund the operations of this church. Over and above, you know, the garage sale and the pledge giving and the various activities and fundraisers that we engage in as a congregation. It doesn't take much math to realize that when you draw down $60,000 to $70,000, our insurance policy, our inheritance, the basis of this church, goes away very rapidly. And at that point, we start having to make very, very hard decisions about what we're doing as a congregation and how we proceed forward. But rather than focus on something that I don't believe is going to happen, which is those hard conversations, those hard decisions, I think as a community, we focus on how we build to a point where we're not talking about an operating loss each year. We're talking about goals for how we can give back more, how we can endow music positions, how we can endow a minister's position, where whatever happens within the local economy, we are largely insulated from. Something that lasts long beyond probably any of our participations in this congregation and remains a point of strength within this community. So, it's not just money that does that. People are attracted to this congregation and find meaning here because of the congregation. One part is building a financial model that meets our goals and our needs each year. The other part is giving of ourselves to create a community that brings people in, that welcomes them, that creates the space that we all, the reason that we're here each and every week. As we grow, it compounds. During that radio piece, they spoke with one of the underground workers, and he compared himself to an ant in one of those child science experiments with the tunnels. Said no ant really makes that much of a difference, and their work is largely gone in an instant. But as a group of people, we humans can do anything. We can build the lifeblood of a city. So as a congregation, we have to think the same way. The one person's contribution is at the same time only what that one person can give. But when combined, you have a place and a community that is more than the life work, more than one person's life work could ever hope to accomplish. During the meditation, I was not looking at my neighbor's shoes. I was looking at the pecan tree in the meditation garden. Right now, I don't know that I would like to sit out there on a hot day. There's not much shade. The pecan tree isn't what it will be. I don't know that I'll be here in the 10 to 15 years to enjoy it. But someone has planted that, and someone will enjoy it. This is the other part. I get a little bit emotional sometimes. So, as you consider what you can do, just reflect. There are small things, the planting of a tree, that will create what we want this place to be. So, thank you.